Welcome to the Weekend Warriors Fishing Podcast, presented by 13 Fishing Canada. Make your own luck. We're here to scratch that angling itch and talk everything fishing. Join us as we sit down with special guests from across the industry. Now, here's your hosts, Brandon Cater and Logan Lewis.
What is going on, everyone? Thank you for tuning in to yet another episode of the Weekend Warriors Fishing Podcast. It's been a hot minute here since our last episode, but this is a big one. We got episode 60 here. This was a pretty cool sit down. We had Brady Kingsland on of Kingsland Outfitting from our neighbors over there to the east in Manitoba. Had a nice chat with him, about an hour long interview here. So that'll be coming up right away here. But like I said, it's been a hot minute since our last episode. Had some things going on, moved into a house with my girlfriend. So that's been taking up some time, getting the house all done up and everything. And then also was gone fishing the Vanity. So two pretty big things going on there. Vanity was a really fun time. We ended up finishing around the middle of the pack there, but it was pretty cool going up there for my first time. The scenery up there, absolutely beautiful. Pretty sweet. That's actually kind of the first actual tournament that I've fished. I fished the Pro-Am there a couple weeks before the Vanity, and then I guess nothing like hopping into one of the biggest tournaments in Canada as your very first tournament ever. But nonetheless, it was a great opportunity, great experience, learned a ton, and met some really awesome people as well. So with that being said, very happy to kind of get back on the wagon here and get these episodes coming out. We've got a couple good ones lined up here, so things should get rolling here quite smoothly. But just wanted to mention quickly in this episode, kind of get into some more Manitoba topics. We really hit on some of those Lake Winnipeg greenbacks, really dive into some information there, and then just talk about guiding in general and whatnot that Brady has going on. So with that being said, I want to give a quick thanks to our sponsors. Of course, 13 Fishing, presenting sponsor. Like I've said in the other episodes, everyone might hate to hear it, but we're getting closer to early ice. I mean, I'm pretty excited. Some of my favorite fishing of the year, but definitely get stocked up with them and all the other brands on that website as well. You can use our code WEEKENDWARRIORS, save yourself 15% off on all the brands. That's Rapala, Strikemaster, 13 Fishing, of course, and all the other ones. So definitely check them out. Next up, want to give a big thanks to the Saskatchewan Wildlife Federation. They've been with us for a very long time. It's a great great company to be working with, I guess organization. You can go get yourself a membership, lots of great benefits that come with that, and be sure to keep entering those catches into the Master Angler program. I actually, during the Vanity, Jesse was saying to me that probably caught a couple Master Angler Sauger, but we were in tournament mode there, so we weren't really checking that out or entering those. But be sure to enter those fish. The more you enter those fish, the more you're going to see that people are using it, and that's going to give them more initiative to keep on working on the program, making it even better than it is already. So definitely check them out, get yourself a membership, and we're in hunting season. I know you can go pick up some blank tags from their locations as well. And just a great organization all around. Before we hop into the interview here, we're going to have a quick word, as always, from Lucky Bastard Distillers. You can check the show notes below, find our code, save yourself 10%. They ship Canada-wide. But yes, without further ado, here is Lucky Bastard Distillers, and we'll hop right into the episode.
There are certain moments in life that really stick with you. This is definitely one of them. The thrill of the dill, my friends, is not a myth.
Prohibition is over, Saskatchewan. Ask about LB's legendary Birmingham's Dill Pickle Vodka. After all, it's not a party until someone pulls out the pickle. Tours and tastings available. Call or stop by 814 47th Street East. And tonight, why not mix your Caesar with some Lucky Bastard?
It's the one with the pickle in it.
We're sitting down here for another interview. This one is kind of different. Usually we haven't met the people in person before we actually do the interview. It's only happened a handful of time, and this is episode 60. But me and Brandon, I guess obviously I'm here by myself today. Brandon's not here today, but we met Brady at the Winnipeg Ice Show last year. And now almost a full year later, we've got him on the pod here. So I guess introduce Brady Kingsland here. I guess let me know a little bit about yourself and kind of who you are, and let the listeners know.
Well, like I just said, like 35 years old, recently just purchased an outfit. I don't know if that's the best decision I've ever made, but did that pretty much right when COVID started. So that was great. But yeah, going into year, I believe this will be our fourth year of Kingsland Outfitting. And like every year, traction is getting bigger and bigger, and hopefully it just continues on. Other than that, like, been guiding since I was 15 and a half years old. Wow. Was fortunate enough to, you know, get a phone call when I was 16, and I was, before I knew it, I was sitting in my farm in Lundar, and before I knew it, in like 8 hours, I was in Edmonton, and then I was up in Grand Prairie and guiding in Peace River, and that led to a world of opportunity, and I've been lucky and fortunate enough to guide for some pretty cool names and be friends with a lot of the guys in the industry that, you know, a lot of people look up to. And I mean, so do I mean, just because they're my friends. But I mean, you know, guiding for Shockey and stuff like that for 6 years, and you know, all that stuff. And, you know, Cody Robbins was his camera guy when I was there and all that stuff. So it's kind of cool watching those guys grow and grasp. And, you know, it's pretty cool to see. So.
Yeah. Yeah, no, that's obviously some big names there, especially getting to do that so young. I had no clue you were 35. I thought you were like late 20s, maybe. Like, I had no idea that you were 35, but
the baby face gets everybody. I always get it all the time. It's hilarious.
Yeah, that's funny. No, that's interesting. That's like, so I guess, did you enter into the purchase for the outfitting like right before COVID started, or was it something that you did just once COVID had started, kind of thing? Like, did you get into it and you're like, oh boy, here we go, and then COVID, or like what happened there?
So like, it actually, like, I was kind of partnered in with like, I don't know, a Harvester Outdoors here in Selkirk. I was working there at the time, and I had kind of knew of this license was popping up. And the guy had wanted to sell it. He's a local guy, and I knew it had the Red River on it, which has a moratorium on it now, so like nobody can get it, like, unless you are grandfathered in or you purchase it. The province will never give it to anybody else. So I really wanted to get my hands on it. And it popped up, and I was fortunate enough that the guy that I was working for, he had the funds at the time, and he said, hey, I'll purchase it, and if you want to run it and whatever, and then, you know, when the time comes that you have the money, and if you want to buy it and all that stuff. So it worked out just like that. It was Harvester Outfitters for, I believe, 2 seasons. And he just wasn't interested. He has really busy. He does a lot of commercial fishing nets and all that stuff. So he's got his hands tied with that so much. So I had the opportunity. I was financially all right to buy it. So came up with it, and we purchased it. And then the transfer was in my name, and it was pretty cool to see my name at the top of the list instead of somebody else's, because it was there twice. Yeah. And then finally got to see Brady Kingsland at the top of it, so that was pretty cool.
Yeah, no doubt. That's so when you say that it included the Red, I guess I don't know as much about how those rights works, because I see lots of like catfish guides and stuff out there. Would they also have the same kind of setup, or is this different?
Yeah, no, it's a touchy subject in this part of the area. Like, okay. There's a lot of, like, I hate to say it, but I mean, there's a lot of illegal guiding and a lot of illegal outfitting going on around here. So the province gives you an allocation. Like, you have to have a body of water. Like, you can't, just because you have a guide license, which most people think, just because you have a guide license, you can just go guide on a body of water. And you can't. I mean, you have to have a government-issued allocation for that body of water. So ours came with Lake Manitoba, Lake Winnipeg, the Red River, the Assiniboine, and Lake of the Prairies. And then we applied for Lake of the Woods also, and we got that. We haven't really dabbled into the Lake of the Woods, because, I mean, that's just
a whole other beast.
A whole different thing. I mean, yeah, I mean, if we get big enough, I mean, obviously, like, maybe try at some point, but we're not there yet. I mean, but and we also do so much on the hunting side of things too, right? So we're going and going and going all the time, which is what I wanted. Yeah, the fishing side of things is is kind of funny. It's you know, all the outfitters around here know, you know, the rules and how to abide by them, but it's just the people that, you know, have a guide license in their wallet and they think that they can do it.
Right.
It's a touchy subject, I guess. But
no, I get that. And I guess with the guiding, as far as, because this is your full-time gig, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, like, I fill in at Smoke and Fish in Selkirk for, you know, a couple times here and there, you know, just to, if I got nothing to go on, you know, to help pay a truck payment or something. But, you know, it's a full-time gig. It's you know, and like I said, with every year that goes on, it's getting more and more. I've got a couple young kids that are going to be working for me this year for the ice season, because our ice season is looking real, real steady. So
that's good.
Especially because in these things, I'm standing in my ice castle right now. And that's what you're going to see on Lake Winnipeg a lot now, I think, is everybody going to these ice castles. I lived in this thing for 3 months. Me and Justin and Hunter lived in it.
Wow.
And from January 25th all the way through March. So, and we're going to do it again this year. It just makes it a lot easier. You get an extra hour of sleep. You know, you don't got to drive anywhere. You just, you know, so it's nice. It's cool. It's awesome. And like for the YouTube side of things, it was kind of cool for, you know, on the YouTube side for Justin's page and mine and Justin's page, I guess now, or whatever that is. So with the assorted meats side, it was cool. And so we got a lot of footage and a lot of walleye, and I know a lot of people were like, walleye, which is true because it was every day, but you know, we'll try to do a little bit different and go to different places this year too.
Yeah, no, that's the thing that I think that's pretty sweet would be getting to live out there, right? Like, obviously we'll touch on it later with the greenbacks and stuff, obviously, but you mentioned the Smoke and Fish there, and I've only been to the Red once. I made one trip there with a buddy for a long weekend and hit some catfish and stuff like that. And it was, every time I've been to Manitoba, I say it on here, it's been some of the best fishing I've ever had. To go to different parts of the province, and it's just insane every time. But stopped in at the Smoke and Fish there, and I think the guy that was working there, I don't know if he was the owner, I think he was, he said he's from Shaunavon, Saskatchewan, actually. So I thought that was kind of cool. But walking in there is like a whole different world. Like, we don't have much like that in Saskatchewan for that kind of setup. And I just love how dialed it was right to where it's situated. Right. And went in there, and as two guys, like, you can research it online, but nothing beats local knowledge. So talking to them, they were really helpful with everything. So I guess shout out to them, cause I loved being in that store. It was pretty, pretty sweet checking everything out there. But yeah, it's the fishing around there. I couldn't believe how good it was. And it obviously shows with, I've never seen more people fishing there in my entire life, I don't think.
Yeah, it's crazy. Like that place, like tonight, like I just left there. I worked till whatever 8:30 our time, and like you get guys coming in, guys from the States coming in, and you know, it's nice for me because I mean I do get some bookings from there and stuff like that, so it's kind of cool. And but we, you know, we help, you know, me and Lee Nolden's the owner, and you know, he's the godfather of Lake Winnipeg. I mean, he's the encyclopedia Lake Winnipeg. If you want anybody knows around here to call Lee if you need anything, right, for Lake Winnipeg side of anything. So it's pretty cool. You sit there and we just talk, and just it's just nonstop fishing, and we share, and like we don't point people in the wrong direction. We actually tell them where to go and all that stuff, and help them out with all the right stuff. We don't BS anybody and all that stuff, and it shows. I mean, they just, the amount of people that come through that door is incredible. Like the amount of minnows that get sold is insane.
Yeah.
Like I, like, you know, like 4 or 5 cases a day. Like it's crazy. Like I would never have thought until, like, I mean, he always told me, but until working there, and like, I mean, I'll never be there on a actual busy season, cause I'll be guiding, but like,
right,
I can't even imagine what it's like during ice fishing season.
Yeah. Well, and that's what, the guy we were talking to said. He was basically like, if you're here 2 weeks later, he said you would have been able to walk across the boats in the river because the walleye would be in there. And he's like, so you actually kind of timed it well, so you're not dealing with so many people. But there's already a ton of people out there. And I was like, how can this get any busier? Like, I already had nowhere to park my truck at the launch. Like, it was pretty crazy.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it gets crazy. It's in, like, right now is the time. Like, it's like I said, I'm on week 3 here of tournaments. But like I went out today. It's just like I say it all the time, I take it for granted. I'm 5 minutes away. I put my boat in. I can drive 5 minutes down the creek, get to the river, and like I did today, and on first drop, I caught a 30-inch walleye like in 5 minutes, and it was just, you take that for granted, and it's just, it's crazy to have that insane fishery in your backyard.
Yeah, and we're, I think we're going to go to that next, but I guess as far as, just so some people have more of a idea, your experience in the outdoors, would you say it's more hunting-based with now that you've gone to fishing with the outfitter, or was it fishing first and then hunting? Like, what's it kind of looking like there?
Oh, it was definitely hunting. Like, I honestly, man, I mean, and I still say it, but like I say, I fish because I can't hunt. And but people sit there and tell me like, no. And then I'm more leaning, as you can see, as the years go by. I mean, I'm becoming a fisherman more than a hunter now, and it's hard for me to say that, but it's just, it's hard. I mean, I'm falling in love with lake trout. I do lake trout trips a lot now, and like just the walleyes and all that stuff. And because you do it more, like, you know, you can go and do those every day for a long time instead of, you know, the hunting, like elk season. We just did our elk season. It was a great 3 weeks to a month in camp, but like, then it's done. You know, you kill one animal, it's done. You kill two animals in our case, and it was done. So yeah, I mean, hunting is still definitely, I think, my drive, but I mean, it's a close. It's like probably 51% to 49 instead of a big 60 to 40 as it used to be.
Right. Yeah, and I think that's one thing, like, I guess for people that don't do both of them, or people who just don't do either of them, or just listening, it's like fishing, and it's different in each province, but like, for example, in Saskatchewan, I can fish every month of the year if I wanted to, right? Like, or most people would say like 11 out of the 12 months, but really you could fish every month if you want to, whereas hunting's only a certain time of the year, right? So that's, I think, one thing that kind of makes them a little bit different from each other, because the fishing's always there, right? And then the hunting's kind of like, oh, we've got this certain block in the year that we have to do this now, and that's it. So I think that adds an element to it that's kind of exciting, that time crunch, right?
Yeah, 100%. You hit the nail right on the head on that one. There's no better way to explain it.
Yeah. And so I guess now we may as well, I want to dive like really into the greenbacks, and we can get like as technical as you want. Lots of things we kind of do high level, but this is something I'm really interested in. Obviously, it's kind of one of a kind, right? Like, that's, and everyone who's into fishing somewhat knows about the greenbacks. So I guess we'll start high level and then work our way into more detail. But I guess for people who aren't as aware, what are we looking at with the greenbacks here?
Well, I mean, we'll start with the reason why they're called greenbacks, I guess, right? Like, that's, so there's limestone basin in Lake Winnipeg, which gives them that iridescent green shine. It's actually incredible. There's some of them that almost look blue, to a point, but, they're just the most beautiful fish in the world. Like, it's just, you know, the fish I caught today, they were river fish. They weren't even as green as they can get. But as the water temperature gets colder and colder and colder, they get super green. And, like, I can't even explain it. Like, it's hard. Like, you can go look at our pictures and stuff, and we do get a lot of people saying it's photoshopped and all that stuff because of the color and all that stuff. But it's with our clients that come up that have never seen them and everything, their first time, even if it's a 16 incher or a 17 incher, when they pull that up, they are just holding it and they're just like, what is this thing? You know? And it never gets old. It's super cool to see. And they're just, I don't know. Like, I mean, like, again, we just take it for granted. It's, to me, that's just a walleye, you know, for me to see a golden walleye is weird. Like, I don't see that. Like, so it's pretty cool.
Yeah. Yeah, kind of more of that northern thing when you get into those more gold and then also just like black walleye, right? You don't see that as much. And is that only on Lake Winnipeg? Like, I don't know as much with the lakes in Manitoba, but like, that has nothing to do with Lake Manitoba at all?
Lake Manitoba, they're a little bit more sandy, is the way I would explain it. They're still light. They're not dark at all. They still look like, I mean, you could, probably people would probably call them a greenback, but they're more sandy. Like, I would say they're not They're nowhere near as iridescent, but they're definitely got a little bit of a tinge to them as well. But they're not as crazy as Lake Winnipeg and the Red River.
Okay, cool. And I guess like if anyone wants to go, maybe I'll throw up a map right now. Like anyone who wants to go look, Lake Winnipeg is a massive lake. For that, from my understanding, you correct me if I'm wrong, that lake is not very deep either, right?
Not really. I mean, you get some places where, I mean, from where we fish in the South Basin, I mean, you can drive miles, miles, miles to for a 3 to 4 foot, you know, depth change. So, I mean, mm-hmm. when you're fishing those fish, it's there's no structure, there's no nothing. There's you're looking for highways. And then that's, you know, if you get on a contour line, that's the fish are using. That's what you do. It's a big bowl. Like, you know, it's just, and that's about it. There's a couple rocks and little troughs and stuff that we do focus on a lot, but there's really not much to go by. So it's pretty good. Like depth-wise, you do get some. Like in Hecla, you do have some spots that's like 50, 60, 70, but like that's about it. It's just a little narrow channel that, you know, is, but mm-hmm. not much. You know, as you get more north, there is some deep pockets as well, but that's untouched waters. Like nobody goes there.
Oh, okay. Yeah. That's just kind of no man's land out there then.
Yeah. That's the ocean. Yeah.
Well, I know what you mean by the ocean. Cause the one time I was there, we drove the Red right to the mouth of it pretty well. And it was like, I think it was like 50K winds that day and we were fine on the river. But just heading towards that mouth there, I looked out there and I was like, man, this is ridiculous. Like, I don't know how these waves are so big. Cause I was like, it's pretty shallow. Like I could see on my sonar how deep it was. Like, it looks pretty shallow around here, but I couldn't believe it. So in that south area is it's big enough. But when you look towards that north there, I couldn't even imagine how bad it could get out there.
It's scary. Like what I tell all of our guys, especially open water, is like, literally the moment you feel the hair on the back of your neck change, like with the wind change, you know, be on alert. Like, cause in 5 minutes you can have 5, 6, 7 footers, you know? So it's nothing to play around with, especially like place in Hecla and stuff, actually pretty much anywhere. But if that wind turns, and it doesn't need to get up crazy. I mean, if it's 20, 30K, it'll develop some big rollers. And if you don't got the right boat, or, you know, if you don't know what you're doing, you know, if you do get yourself in a situation like that, it can end bad, as it has for a few people, which is unfortunate. But
yeah, no, for sure. And I guess with there is, would you say that it's more of a winter fishery for sure?
It's gaining traction in the spring for sure. But yeah, it's definitely more of a winter. Like when people think of greenbacks, I'm pretty sure 90% of them think of ice fishing.
Right.
But I've been trying to get this out, and we've all been as outfitters trying to get this out, that the spring bite in Hecla on Lake Winnipeg, even like in like our, just the South Basin in spring, an early opener, you literally, I will fight this with anybody. For drive two, I don't think there's a better walleye fishery and a walleye place in the world to go to. Like our group, we had a group last year. There was 6 of them that they were there for 2.5 days. They caught 397 walleyes and they caught 37 over 28 inches.
Wow.
In 2.5 days. So, and they didn't even fish their 8 hours most of the days because they just were just like, all right, we're good. And we were like not using bait. Like we're just using plastics and, you know, just Z-Man, you know, paddle tails and frostbite paddle tails and stuff like that. Yeah. And just stupidly aggressive rip jigging. And yeah, it was incredible. Like we had, yeah, the best spring of our so far, and hopefully it keeps gaining traction, keeps going. But it's whenever people think, you're right, like whenever people think of Lake Winnipeg, it's ice fishing, but open water, people got to start thinking like it's, you know, because it's those fish don't really, like they're there, you know, so they got to eat.
Yeah, exactly. And that's one thing, it's funny you mentioned that being aggressive there, because all the most of the videos I've seen, it's like big, like way bigger rattles than I think you're using for walleye, and huge jigging spoons. And is it that just you got to be aggressive with the lack of structure and kind of call those fish in, or like what's the deal with that?
it's kind of like, I mean, so last year was a big hiccup. Like, I mean, last year, so we had clients. First ice, I took a guy from Idaho, one of the eyes. Anyways, he came up on his own and he just said, hey, you know, is there enough ice? And I said, yeah, there's 9-10 inches. I said, I've been driving on for a week. We're good. And so at that point, you don't really have to go very far. With him, that was our first guy of the year. And he had an unbelievable trip. He was there for 3 days. He caught 20 over, you know, over 28 inches. And I don't even know how many fish he caught. It was insane. We have it. It's the one with Randy. It's on YouTube. It's on the assorted meats. But like, it was insane. So like, we're sitting there like, okay, here we go. It's going to be an unbelievable year. And then we had 2 weeks of that bite. That bite was insane. And then it just kind of just, they just kind of went, I wouldn't say dormant, but they kind of went tight-lipped, and they were tight-lipped for almost the whole year. It was kind of weird. I mean, we were still catching fish, but normally I would tell our guys, hey, you know, in a day we'll catch 30 to 40 walleyes, maybe more, but we try to, you know, be on the low side so we don't, you know, sit there and be like, hey, we're going to catch 500 walleye today. Like, obviously you don't say that, but you know, it could happen, not 500, but 100 for sure. You know, we were telling our guys, hey man, expect to catch 10 to 15, you know, and it was, you know, but the good thing is there, you were still mixing in big fish. The big fish didn't go anywhere. It was just the numbers. And we found that there was a big movement of whitefish last year that came in. We were catching some big, big whitefish, and we were watching on the live scopes, and like, those whitefish were bullying the walleyes. As soon as the whitefish came in, you could see them. They were nose down, skimming on the bottom. As soon as they came in, any walleye that was anywhere near the area was gone. And it was insane. Like, in this ice castle that I'm in right now, like, we caught at least 20, 25 whitefish, and that's unheard of. Like, we do that. Oh, yeah. Never happens in Lake Winnipeg. So like, in the northern basin where like Daniel Stagg, where he fishes, that's where they commercial fish for whitefish, and they don't really do the greenbacks. You know, their walleye aren't greenbacks up there as much. And so he was catching some greenbacks this year too, so in his nets and stuff. So it was really weird. Like, when we went up there for our pike fish, we were catching greenbacks, and he was telling us, like, you know, this is weird, like, we don't usually see greenbacks. So it was a weird year, definitely a weird year. I'm hoping that it gets back on a little bit of track and back to normal for this year. Yeah. But we still caught fish. We still had a great time. It was just, you know, they were just, we had to work a little harder, and you know, which we did. But it was a weird year, though.
Yeah. Well, you mentioned Daniel there. He's a good follow. Whoever doesn't follow him, search him up on Instagram there. Based on what I've seen from his page, it doesn't surprise me that he's up in no man's land there.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, he's hilarious. And like, the guy is an absolute stick. Like, if I just catches giant pike. Like, the pike of fishing up there is insane in his backyard. Like, we've done it for the last 2 years, and it's incredible. I've never seen pike fishing like that in my life. Like, in 3 feet of water, and you're just ripping up 40s, 40 pluses the whole time. And yeah, it's incredible.
Yeah. So I guess, for anyone who's thinking of coming up there, other than the obvious of booking their trip with you, what should they be bringing to be ready?
Main thing, like, I tell our guys, like, the biggest thing that I always get with our guys is boots. Like, they always have cold feet. And like, we supply everything else. Like, I've got rods, reels. Like, we use all frostbite gear. We supply everything, like, from heaters, tents, the ice castle, obviously, bait, everything. But like, I can't supply your footwear. So like,
yeah,
a good pair of boots, like a good, like, you know, good like Eskimo, you know, gear or striker, whatever, a good float suit. Just stuff like that, like basic stuff. But it's amazing how many people come unprepared, and you know, they don't think of, you know, that wind is just, it's piercing out there. Like, if you're out there and it's only 15-20 K and it's minus 15 or minus 20, like, it's cold. Like, that's really cold. And you know, a lot of people don't think of that, and so we end up usually putting up hubs or whatever, coming back to the ice castle here and whatever. But yeah, like, I can't stress enough, like, a good base layer and then a good, just a good float suit or any kind of windbreaker for sure. But,
yeah.
Other than that, like, yeah, we supply all the gear and everything. Like, you don't, realistically, you don't have to bring anything, but majority of people do like to bring their own stuff, which is fine as well.
Right. Yeah. And that's just from my little bit of guiding that I've done the last 2 years. It's someone always, they always have that one hook that they think, like, I've got to use this, and that's, this is what works. Right. And it's honestly, sometimes yeah. You'll be surprised. I had one client this year that threw it was one of the Balsa Rapalas. What was it? Was it the Super Shad or something like that? But the tongue was missing off of it. And we just put a single circle hook on the back, and that thing just slayed pike. It just, all it did was wiggle on top of the water because there was no diving action to it. And he was like, this is what works. I'm like, okay, sure, throw it. He threw that for the whole 6 days. And I was like, okay,
yeah,
that works. But yeah, they always it's got funny. Those. And I guess for, it is. Yeah. But for someone who's, say, like, I do lots of DIY on my trips and stuff, or just for some reason I end up finding myself on lakes that don't have much information, I decide it's a good idea to try and figure it out. What kind of, for someone who has no idea going up there, as far as, like, just basics for what kind of rod setup, reel should you be using kind of thing for specifications? Because obviously you're going to be potentially getting into some big fish, right?
Yeah, absolutely. So, like, my big thing is I'm a big medium heavy guy. These walleyes, sometimes you're fishing in 3, 4, 5 feet of water. A lot of times, like, we like to fish them in shallow water. Mm-hmm. And, like, I can't stress how important it is to drill that hook into the top of their mouth. And, I mean, a 30-inch walleye's mouth is rock solid. So you get some of these people that bring up, you know, medium lights, and even mediums, you know, some of them with fast actions like that. And, yeah, those do have their you know, benefit as well when you're fighting a fish in shallow or really shallow water. But I just think that, you know, and we straight tie our braid. We use 10-pound braid. We straight tie. We don't do the fluorocarbon leaders. We find that those fish that are coming in those shallow water, especially for fishing shallow water, they're coming to eat. They're not looking at anything. Mm-hmm. Like, it's just a smack, right? But so, like, 10 12 15 pound braid, 8 to 15 I would say is no big deal. I wouldn't go anything more than that. You don't need it. You know, and just like a good, like I said, a medium to medium heavy rod. Like, I use the Frostbite Drama Queen. I think that is the best rod for anything on Lake Winnipeg. It's a 45 medium heavy. And it's just got a lot of play, moderate action. And, like, when you set that hook on that fish, you can just let him throb if he has to at the bottom of the hole. So until he gets in the tube, which is a very big thing. But, you know, like that, like a good auger, obviously good, like, you know, we switched to Ion Alphas. And those things rip ice like crazy. And, like, just reliable gear, like, but for on the reel side, like, we use, you know, 500 to 1,000 size, you know, series. Sometimes guys have 2,000 size Vanfords and stuff, but like I said, again, all Frostbite. We use all Frostbite stuff. It's all, yeah, you know, so we use the diesel reels, which are 500 sizes and 1,000 sizes. And so, like, it's anything with a good drag system. You don't want a choppy drag. You want a good smooth drag. Realistically, after that, like, you know, our fish, realistically, they're not really going to pull the drag. It's sometimes it's just a real set the hook and they're in the hole, right? So it's not,
yeah,
it's a different kind of fishing. You're not really fighting them that much, unless you get out to that, you know, 10, 12 foot mark. But even then, it's not a very long fight. Right. So, but yeah, just good gear like that, and that should get the job done for sure.
Yeah. Well, and it's funny, I noticed it, like, I guess obviously you mentioned Frostbite. That's where we met you, was at the Frostbite booth there and at the ice show there. And then also the other thing I noticed when we were hanging out around the Lake the Woods booth there, and I don't know if it's just because of kind of the, obviously how big, like, Clayton and JR and stuff in there with Ion augers and stuff, but, like, at the booth there. Like we're with 13 Fishing and by extension Strike Master, right? And we run our Strike mm-hmm. Masters and love them. But it was crazy in Manitoba. I'm guessing it has something to do at least with Clayton and Jay and stuff and them being kind of local to that. But like the Ions were selling like crazy from that booth. And I was like, because I see about 50-50 here in Saskatchewan, it seems like. Lots of my buddies have the Strike Masters, but you see the Ions everywhere. And I was like, this must just be, it's got to have something to do with Clayton and Jay, I would think. But I was like, we were sitting there because we were at the booth with Jay and Josh there, and they're right across the walkway from it. And we're just watching, we were there for like 2 hours just watching these go. I was like, man, this shows that marketing works, right?
Absolutely, yeah. And I mean, so I was a Strike Master guy too. I used it all the time, and like I can't say anything bad about them. Like they're amazing. They take a beating. Like mm-hmm. if you want to test any kind of product, come and give it to an outfitter on Lake Winnipeg. Like there's no other way that you're gonna test stuff. So like, you know, I can't say anything bad about that. But like, you know, we with me partnering up with Justin on the Assorted Meats channel there. You know, he had a thing with Ion Eskimo already, so I mean I couldn't really I couldn't be drilling in the background with the Strike Master, you know what I mean, while we're filming. So we just we did the switch and it was all right. Like, you know, I don't mind it at all. They're great. It's crazy how fast they cut, and I mean at the end of the day, mm-hmm. an auger's an auger. If you get through the ice, you get through the ice. So
yeah, and that's the thing, and it's they're all big companies for a reason, right? Like all these companies have great products, so I think that helps there. You can't really go wrong with lots of these products, and I couldn't believe it because we bought one of the original Ions however many years ago, and then I went from that not getting the next generations to then buying the new Light Flight Strike Master there, and so I had a huge gap, and I'm drilling with this thing. I was like, I've been suffering over holes for however many years when these augers have gotten so much better. And yeah, same thing, like they just the way those new ones, the electric ones especially, tear through ice, and just how easy they are, it's incredible. So I know that's definitely something that's been a big improvement in the ice scene as well, especially when you do get into it more and you're not just drilling your four holes for your shack and sitting there all day and hoping something comes by. Like when you're getting mobile and moving around, like it's nothing to go through a couple batteries when you're trying to find those fish.
Oh man, like on a day where we're running and gunning, like there's nowhere to fly. Like we're drilling 200-300 holes a day, and you know what I mean, like so it's you gotta have, you know, 6 to 10 batteries, and you know they gotta be on a rotation in the truck charging while you're going, and you know it's crazy, but it's amazing what's happened. It's nice you don't have to sit there and rip on a cord to start it and hope the thing starts, and you know you just push a button and it goes. It's a big improvement. I was skeptical on the electric thing. I never ever, I was like, I'm a Jiffy guy, I'll stick to my Jiffy forever. And
yeah,
and then I finally just, like I said, when I was at Harvester, then we finally got one of the electrics in, and I went and tried it, and I'm like, oh, okay, yeah, we're going to go with this.
I mean, as far as reliability, you can't go wrong with one of the, like, I don't even know how old they are, Jiffy 35s. Like, those ones seem to always, like, you see any old boy out there fishing, he's got the Jiffy 35, and those things never give up on you.
Oh, you can hear them, and you can hear them for miles. Just pop, 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 just popping for miles. Yeah. Oh yeah, I still have it. I guarantee you, I could go turn it on right now and pull it. It would start.
Yeah, for sure. And I guess you mentioned Justin there. He's a former guest. We had him on quite a while ago. What's it like? Obviously, you'd be spending a lot of time with him. What's it like being with him for a day?
It is an adventure. It's fun. I don't know. Let's just say that my ice fishing season, I hadn't had that much fun in my whole life. So it was good. Like we did, just having the camera and having the laughs and having all the adventures we did. You know, we went and did some stuff. We took the ice castle to Clearwater Bay, did lake trout over there for the first time for me. Anyways, he had fished it a lot, and you know, we did that stuff, and we're planning on doing a lot of stuff like that this year as well. So no, man, being with that guy, he's a character, like, you know, yeah. and like we always said, like me and him, we're cut from the same cloth. Like there's no, we're not going to do any scripts. We're not going to do anything. It's just, you know, this is us and that's how it is. And you know what I mean? And it's just, it's gotten us in trouble and it's gotten, you know what I mean? But it's,
yeah,
it's just the way it is. I mean, we just don't want to be told how to be. We just want to be ourselves, and that's how we're going to keep it. So.
Yeah, no, exactly. And I guess what is, like you mentioned that you're kind of together on the channel there. What's going on with it? Cause I know he was uploading like crazy up north there, and then obviously I saw he was down south here too for a bit there, and like kind of what's your guys got going on with the channel there?
Yeah, so he was gone all summer doing his stuff up north there and all that stuff, and then so we were kind of apart, and we had chat about it, and we just said, you know, like we're just gonna, you know, as soon as we can get back together, and time tells and we can get back together. And I actually called him today. He didn't answer, but I was filming for myself on my YouTube channel there. I called him and he didn't answer. So, hey, answer your phone. But, no, we had been in chats and we're going to get going. We're going to get some stuff. We actually, we probably are going to fish either hopefully tonight, well, tomorrow or maybe the next day, and get a video going. Just, try to do a walleye and maybe a season ender catfish, maybe just to show people that, you know, the cats don't just shut off and right when the walleye come and stuff like that, just to show that, just to show what the outfitting side has to go. But it definitely helps. Like it was an amazing help. Like the bookings were double because of him, and I can't thank him enough. You know, for him to have 25,000 subscribers, you know, and then me just jump into it, you know, that was big for me. And you know, like I said, I can't thank him enough for that, to just let me in. And it was great. I got traction, and like, it's still so insane to be walking in a supermarket or in Safeway and people come up and get you to sign something. And, you know, like, hey, I love your videos and stuff. And it's just like, I'm just an ordinary person, but thank you so much. You know what I mean? It's just, it still gets you. It's awesome.
Yeah, and I guess that's one thing too with kind of the community that you have around Selkirk and stuff like that with the fishing, is anyone who's looking for local stuff, your videos are going to come up at one point or another, right? So it's nice that you guys have that, and it's so tight right there, right? Like in Saskatchewan, we have lots of great lakes and stuff, but you're widespread for the most part there. Mm-hmm. And so it is pretty sweet to kind of see how that community works, because like you see like the casting deck guys, like there's all these different groups there, but even being from Saskatchewan, I know that like they're part of this because of the community that's around there and stuff like that. And it's very supportive. And like you said, people coming up and talking to you and stuff. And it is weird, like being like, oh, I watch your videos or I watch this. And like you said, that just leads to more bookings and stuff too, which is awesome. Cause I think with Justin's channel, the way he started it is it's authentic, like you mentioned, right? And people aren't going into meeting you wondering, is this what he's actually like, right? Like you can just see that's how they are, and you feel like it's just someone you already know, and you're not worried about meeting them. Or for someone who's coming to do a trip with you, you're not worried about it being totally different. People can see how their trip's most likely going to go. They can see the fishing is great, the guys they're with are great, and so it's way easier to book that trip, right?
Yeah, and we had a guy last year come all the way from Colorado by himself solo. And he did not care if he caught a fish. He just wanted to hang out with us. And like, it was so cool. And like, honestly, like at that point I felt bad for taking his money. I was like, man, like it was just like, you know, you came all this way and like, we didn't catch that many fish. It was a rough 3 days. Like, you know, I think he caught maybe 20, 25 fish, you know, it was pretty rough, but like, and I mean, that happens, you know, it's fishing, but like, he was so cool, so understanding, and he booked with us again already for this year, you know, and like, it's just, and we had a bunch of people like that. Like, we offered that, what did we call it? Ass Kings Meatland package or something. We put all of our names together, and yeah, so, and like, so whenever that happens, you know, whatever, me and Justin would go out and, you know, film an episode and all that stuff, and if they wanted to, and if they didn't, they would just hang out with us, and whatever. So it's a pretty cool thing, like, you know, just to see the amount of traction and the people that, you know, wanted to come and fish with us, like from around the world, is crazy. Just from little old YouTube channel from in the middle of Lake Winnipeg, you know, so it's pretty cool.
Yeah, no, exactly. And I I guess as far as I got a couple more things here, but as far as like we met you at the Frostbite booth there, how did you kind of get into working with them and everything like that?
Honestly, it was just used their stuff. I just bought it, used it, tagged. And you know, I'd known, you know, ran into Aaron and these guys, you know, and Tully and all them, you know, a few times. And then it honestly just kind of gravitated into, after a while, I guess they kind of realized like, hey, this guy's using our stuff a lot. And, you know, just, it was a big social media presence. I was just tagging him. And I guess after a while, they just, you know, like, hey, you know, why don't you, here's a little bit. And you know what I mean? You scratch our back, we'll scratch yours. And, you know, so they're great to work with. Like, I mean, I can't say anything bad about them. I mean, the other guy there, here, Justin, he might say something, but that's his own battle on that one. But, you know, they've been great to me. They had some problems with some people trying to steal stuff at the ice fishing show last year, so they brought in the heavyweight in there, and they wanted me just to watch the guard. And then I just ended up talking to people, and they all were just asking about Lake Winnipeg, and I sold, I don't know how many drama queens I sold. It was crazy, but I was just pushing those things, and Perrick was just like, holy man, he's like, we almost didn't bring enough of those things. He's like, we didn't realize we were going to sell so many. I was like, well, that's my favorite rod, so every time somebody asked, what would you use, that's it. And as soon as I said it, they'd be like, okay, I'll take one. I'm like, oh, okay, right on. So, well, they're great. Like I said, I don't, we're going to continue working with them. They help us out whenever I ask, or even if I don't ask, they just throw us some stuff. And so it's great. It's a good relationship.
Yeah. That booth was nuts there. The line for that booth, like, it just shows the power of social media. But the line, like, I'm sure your throat was just raw by the end of the day after all the talking you had to do to all the people there, and whether it was people wanting to meet Perrick or wanting to come, you don't get to see lots of that stuff in person, right? So it's just nuts there. And yeah, like you said, they brought you in to kind of maybe watch some of the stuff that was being stolen, but little did they know you probably used some of that stuff the most out of anyone there.
Well, that's exactly what it was. They had said, like, that's what Alex had said. He's like, you know, like, we brought you in to be the muscles, like, but at the end of the day, he's like, you're the right guy to be here for this, because like, you're the guy who uses it in Manitoba the most, like, you know, like, it's you're using it every single day. And you know, so it was good, it worked out great. And I imagine we're gonna do it again this year. And you know, I think I might bounce from there to the Big Sky booth and help out Dan a bit and whatever. And
I think that's one thing for anyone listening, that kind of when you ask people what they use and stuff, I've just, from the little bit of guiding I've done, I've noticed how there is things that you kind of think are good, and then you go to use them every day and you're like, oh, these actually aren't as great. And then there's other things that you already thought were great and you use them every day and you're like, yep, that's definitely something that I'll keep using, right? Because that's when you get your true test. So if you're asking someone about stuff, like, you could ask some people and they're just going to kind of tell you what they're affiliated with, and then you can ask other people, like people that are guiding outfitting and stuff, and it's like, that's pretty good, I guess that's a pretty good person to go off of, right? Because they're using it every day. That's someone who actually is putting it to the test, and it has to perform for them because their livelihood kind of depends on it lots of the time.
Right. And I mean, at the end, like, that's what I mean. Like, at the end of the day, I'm not going to promote or push something that doesn't work, and that doesn't work for us. Because, I mean, it's just, that's just the way it is. I'm not, you know, I don't sit there and I don't push Frostbite stuff just because, oh, I want to be on their pro staff. No, that's not it. That I don't do the pro staff thing, and everybody knows that. I use the stuff that I like, and if I like it, I will endorse it and I'll promote it. And that's the way it's been. You know, it's not, I've never had a problem, and if there has been a problem, it's been fixed very fast, and you know what I mean? It's, and that's the way it should be. I like it. So I just, that's the way I'll always be. I had a run-in with one of the groups. I won't say what name it was, but they wanted me to use their stuff exclusively, and I wasn't allowed to use anything else. And so that got thrown into the garbage pretty quick.
Yeah.
That's just not me. You know what I mean? I'm just not going to not going to be just to one company. I'm just, you know, if I like this, I'm going to use this, use this. If I'm allowed, they can all endorse you. I'll say all the best things as I can, you know. And but if you're going to tell me I can't do it, no, I'm a grown ass man. I'm sorry. I'm going to, I'll use what I can.
Yeah, exactly. And that's, that exclusivity is kind of, it would be tough. Like, we don't have anything like that, thankfully, either. Cause there's just, there's so many great things. Like, we'll get asked, like the most recent one was like, what are you guys using for pike? And I'm like, well, I just got some of the new Omen Muskie rods. They've been great. And some of the reels and stuff for 13, but also mentioned some other stuff or what lures are using. Well, some of the Rapala lures we're using, but there's also some Savage gear, stuff like that. Like, I'm not gonna, there's no point in leading people astray just towards the one thing. There's so many great brands out there, like we talked about earlier. So it's like, why not? The people are taking the time to ask you. And so there's no reason to kind of, point them the other way when you really shouldn't be, right? It's pretty simple. And I also, I mean, people asking us, it's, we have a podcast and we fish, yeah, but like there's people like they could be asking you kind of thing, who's doing it every day too, right? So I think that's one thing that, especially with social media, lots of people get led astray by people that are just doing it for the contract that they have. And it's nice to know that there is people kind of like the way we think too, is it's, you're not just going to lead someone astray who's actually trusting you to tell them what's good, right? Like, that's, I think lots of people could get screwed over by that.
Yeah, 100%. It's you see it a lot nowadays, and it's actually hard to watch. Like, there's a lot of things where I turn the other cheek, because it's just, you know that person's just leading that person to the left because that person is with that company, and you know, it's you know using those things, and it's like, no, there's better options. And you know what I mean, it's just, so it's, but I mean, I just keep my nose out of it and just whatever yeah. will be. But for you speak about those Omen rods and all that 13 fishing stuff, I just fished the last two tournaments with Peter Weedman, who's been Rapala pro staff for, I don't know, 30 some years. And the guy's an encyclopedia, and he's using these rods. Like, I'm using a G Loomis medium heavy, like complete opposite of what he's got. He's got like a medium light, like just moderate tip. And so we were fishing, and he broke off twice, and he just grabbed one of my Loomises, and he's in the train, he's fishing, he's like, I can't use this. He's like, I he's like, it's too stiff. He's like, I can't do it.
Oh, so yeah.
He's like, sorry, I gotta take the time to retie and stuff like that. So like, you get the feel for what you want to use and stuff like that, right? And all that stuff. And but I mean, I used his rod for one day, and it was super cool. It was different. I would use it, but it's not the kind of style that I like. And I think that's what a lot of people, you just gotta just go to what you want, and not drawn in by what other people tell you.
Yeah, find what works for you and just keep going off of that. There's so many things to choose from. You could be doing it all your life trying to figure out what works for you, but that's the fun thing. For some reason, we all like to spend money on this stuff and just keep spending money on it. So there's lots of different things to try anyways. But I guess for, what do we got here? We got a couple of things here. It's almost been an hour, so it's already late here, so I know it's even later for you there. I guess one last thing before we get, one last thing before I get into some rapid fire, is kind of, what's life as a full-time guide look like for you? Like, how are you, like, do you have someone helping you with managing everything, or is it just kind of you're taking it by the reins and just kind of day by day? Like, what's it look like?
It's kind of a day by day thing. Like, my first year, I was all over the map. Like, I was just receipts and all this stuff, and my accountant was not happy with me, so I've learned a lot about that, all that stuff. But a day with me is, you know, I don't know, it's a sun up to sundown deal, like every day. And you know, I find that the days where I'm not sun up to sundown, I feel out of place. So like, I understand that, where now when people say, like, if they stop working, you know, they will, you know, they'll croak. And I kind of feel like that already at 35, you know. I'm just, you know, on the days where, you know, we shot a couple elk there, we got our elk, I caught mine, and Austin got the giant that we were after. And then it was like, okay, but they're still bugling, and they're still, like, you know, like, they're still mm-hmm. out there. And, you know, we wanted to go, and we did. We went out and still, like, fiddled with them and got some cool footage and stuff. But, like, it's just, I don't know, man. I'm still learning. I'm learning every day. And, like, I don't have anybody specifically. I've got a team of guides that is on call for me, and, you know, they're great to work with. I've got guys, kids that are 21 years old. This kid Hunter that I work with, Hunter Diamond, he's my right hand man. Like, he's, if I call him, he's there, and he does things how I want it to be done. It's awesome. I don't have to tell him 20 times. He knows how I want it done, and that's it. It's great. It's awesome. So he'll be there. He'll be here for a while unless he really screws up. So don't, but yeah. And then, like, I've got a couple older fellas, you know, from town that, like, Lee actually from Smoke and Fish hooked me up with, and, you know, they help out with trips and stuff like that, especially in the open water side. And it's awesome. Like, and in the hunting side of things, you know, it's realistically, it's just me and, you know, Hunter every now and then, but it's, you know, the scouting and all that stuff. I take pride in that, and I love doing that myself, and I love, you know, getting out there and setting the cameras myself, and because I know there's going to be a point where I can't do it anymore, and I'm going to be sending the guys out to do it and all that stuff, right? So I'm just, you know, I'm not a small guy. I'm a big guy. So while I'm still at fleet at foot, or as fleet at foot as I am right now, not very, but I just try to do as much as I can. It's just, it's, I let it, you know, a couple trips go this year without me, and I was chewing my nails the whole time, and I'm just sitting there and I'm just wondering, like, what's going on, texting the guys every hour. So, like, and this winter is going to be a big, big step for me to let the guys go, because we're going to have a couple crews going almost every day, especially in March. March is pretty much done. And then we're going to have a couple ice castles and stuff like that. So, like, there's no way I can do it myself. It'll be a different test, but it's what I always wanted to get to, and so yeah. It's super exciting.
Yeah, well, I guess I'll probably, if it works out, which I'm hoping it does, I'll see what one of those days look like early ice here for some of those greenbacks. So it'll be interesting to see.
Absolutely, buddy.
Yeah, and so I guess with that, we kind of like to end things with some rapid fire here. So I guess I haven't told you any of these before. It's kind of just what comes to the top of your mind here first, and you can dive into it as much as you want, but we just like to fire some of these off to see what people's initial responses are here. So I've got three here. The first one being, what's your favorite part of guiding, hunting or fishing?
Honestly, it's just meeting people. Like, it's the different kinds of people and the relationships that you make. I can honestly say, I think if I made a phone call to anybody in the lower 48, like down in the States, I think I can go to almost any state and have somewhere to live for or stay for a couple days if I needed to, right? I've guided so many people from even, like, Europe and overseas and stuff like that. Like, it's so cool. And being, you know, just seeing some different cultures and different, the way people bring in things. Like, we had guys when I was guiding with Rogue River and Chalky, you know, killing big moose, pulling out livers, and just guys from Germany, and, you know, just taking it, cutting it, passing it around the circle. And that was the thing, you know, and, you know, all that kind of stuff. And, you know, me, I'm trying to embrace my culture as a Métis harvester and stuff like that. And, you know, and that's my kind of take on things when we do our stuff on the Kingsland Outfitting channel, is try to just show, you know, we're not as bad as, you know, it's perceived. Yeah, you know, we can hunt year round or whatever, but we don't. You know, we're just normal. We abide by the seasons. The only thing, you know, the thing is that, you know, in archery season, we can use a rifle. And yeah, I get it. That is frustrating to some people, but we don't take as much as people think.
Right.
It does get frustrating and stuff like that. And you guys are going to see in episode one and episode two of our elk season this year that we ran into a bit of fun. let's just say that. So there's going to be a lot of stuff there.
Some viral hunter harassment potential there or something?
Yeah, lots of viral hunter harassment and a conservation officer that didn't do his job. And yeah, an animal went to waste because he didn't do it. So.
Oh, okay. Well, there's a little teaser then for those first ones. When do you think those are going to come out? Like you said, you've been editing it and just keep watching it. So.
I'm hoping episode one gets out next week. I put that teaser out, just to kind of buy me more time, honestly. Mm-hmm. So once these tournaments get done, as of like next week, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, I'm going to go pretty hard on the editing side of things and hopefully get it out. Probably hopefully by Friday, I hope I can have episode one out and then work on episode two. So
sweet.
And then there'll be three episodes, I believe. So.
Sweet. We'll be watching those. And that's funny. I don't watch a ton of like bird videos on YouTube for like migratory hunting and stuff, but those always seem to be the ones that pop up is some viral video of some hunter harassment or something like that. And they're actually interesting to watch, but those seem to be the majority of what pops up on my YouTube feed.
It happens so much out there and it's crazy that, you know, nobody really does anything about it and they just kind of take it. And it's just, I've been around for too long and I've seen it happen and I've seen what happened to us this year, and I stood up for us, and mm-hmm. it turned out well for us. I mean, not well for us, but it was just we knew our rights, we knew the rules, we knew everything, and we were doing everything by the book. There was not one thing wrong. So so you guys will see.
Yeah, no, we'll definitely share that one to the story once it comes out. And so I guess for number two here, what is the, in your opinion, the best guide snack that someone could bring you as a client?
Guide snack. I'm a sucker for people bring those. I don't know. I had like a 3-week thing there where guys from like Fargo brought up these. I don't know what they were. They were like pretzels, but they were like Cajun.
Okay.
Cajun pretzels. I can't find them anywhere here. I've tried, but those are just good. Deer pepperonis, man. Like I mean, or any kind of wild game pepperoni sticks. Like those are great on the go, in the truck. You know, when you get your 5 minutes of warm up time in there to have a quick bite or have a quick drink.
Yeah,
that's always the best.
Yeah. Well, and here's one that you can try. I fished the Pro-Am at Last Mountain here a couple weeks ago, and one of the guys I met in the evening when we were done fishing the Pro-Am, he put me on to pork rinds and franks, and it is actually incredible.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I don't. It's weird.
I will try that.
When he pulls out the bag, I was like, oh yeah, pork rinds, pretty good kind of thing. And then he out of his pocket pulls out some franks. I was like, what is going on here? And yeah, you just dab a little bit of that on there, and it's actually good. I don't know how good it is for you, but it tastes pretty good. It's something I hadn't tried or even thought of before. So that's another one you can try this winter.
Yeah, well, I will. I mean, as you can tell, look at me. I don't really think I care about the if it's good for me or not. As long as it tastes good, yeah, that's good enough for me.
Yeah,
and I'm a pork rind guy, so that's good.
Yeah, well, and I know Mac talked about jerky and stuff like that. Like same thing, any kind of game meat. We like to ask everyone that kind of guides and stuff, because there are some good treats that people can bring up, and you see lots of people's stories of what their clients, like I know Doug will put up some stories about what clients brought and stuff like that, and some other guys. Mm-hmm. So it's always interesting. Everyone has usually somewhat of a little bit different answer, but I think any kind of meat products are usually pretty good, especially when it's wild. So that's for anyone who's booking after this into this episode. There's some insider information for you there if you want some really, really good tips for that. But I guess for the third one here, what you as a guide and obviously getting to go fishing, hunting, doing this stuff every day, what is your dream hunting or fishing trip?
Well, I think I'm doing it next year. It's Montana elk. I've always like really, really just been in love with the elk scene, and I've always wanted to go. And like I said, a guy that I've guided just happens to have a ranch and have all this property and, you know, hunter host and, you know, all that stuff. And there was a way for me to get a tag, and it's been in the works for about 5 years.
Wow.
And I've been trying. So it's crossing my fingers, but I think it's going to happen next year. So Yeah, there's that one. Or I do want to get to Africa, and I do want to kill a male Nyala, because okay. I think they are the most beautiful animal. I really wouldn't mind having that in my trophy room.
Yeah, there you go. And I guess I may as well end it with this. If it was your dream fishing trip, what would that look like?
Oh, I've done almost them all. I haven't got like dream fishing trip. Lake trout, like I've done the plumber's thing. It's lake, gotta be lake trout for me. Like yeah. I don't know. Like I've wanted to do reindeer for a long time. I've never done it, and we're trying to get that in the works. So I think that's got to be up there.
Okay.
I've just never ever had the time or any knowledge to go, and I heard it's just a little bit to get in there and stuff. So I haven't really dug around to do it, but that's always been a place I've always wanted to go. Like we do Athapap and Clearwater like so many times a year, but mm-hmm. It'd be nice to go somewhere else where those big guys cross the naked tubes and stuff, and so that'd be kind of cool.
Yeah, I like the local flavor to that, because like lots of people are peacock bass or something, like some GTs or something like that, right? Like far off things. But I like the local flavor to that one. And I guess it's been just over an hour now. So before I let you go here, plug away. Where can everyone find you? You got YouTube, Instagram, stuff like that. Where can they book with you? Where can people get a hold of you?
It's just all kingsonoutfitting.com is our webpage. You can book right off the page. There's literally a book now link. You just click there and it gets sent right to my phone or email, one of the two. You'll be in touch with us pretty quick. Your dates are pretty much circled and done right there quick.
Nice.
Our socials are all Kings on Outfitting from Instagram, Facebook. And then we just created the YouTube thing. Just for more promotional side, the more that's just the way the swing of everything, everybody's going, is YouTube seems to be the grasp of everything. So, Justin wasn't around for the summer. So I figured I'd throw on some of our stuff on the Kings and Outfitting. And then Justin's more on the fishing side. Like, and we dabble into the hunting too. Right. So
yeah,
I'd like to throw that on ours too. So
sweet.
That's a cool thing. And I've always wanted to be able to kind of tell a story with ours and with, on the hunting side. And I've always said like, why didn't I have a camera in my hand for this? Cause it's something so cool. And, people need to see this. And so now it's happening, and
right.
Hopefully we'll be able to show people some pretty cool stuff.
There you go. Well, like we talked about just a bit earlier, had the teaser come out. You're going to have some more videos coming out soon. Obviously, we'll link all the socials there. We'll be tagging you in lots of videos on Instagram and stuff like that. So definitely go toss Brady a follow there. Book a trip if you're interested at all for anything going on in Manitoba. I think you'd be obviously in some pretty good hands there. But we appreciate you taking your time. It's late there now for you. Like you said, you got a tournament going this weekend. So definitely appreciate you taking your time, and thanks for coming on.
Yeah, no worries. Thanks for having me. Anytime, boys.
Well, we hope you guys enjoyed that episode. I know I had an awesome time sitting down with Brady there. Awesome guy to talk to. Like I mentioned at the top of the episode, we were lucky enough to meet him at the Winnipeg Ice Show last year. And just great dude to talk to in person for the pod. Obviously, he has a ton of experience. He started doing this when he was so young. And it's been pretty cool to see, learn some of his story that he had there through his guiding life. But big thank you to him for coming on. I know I'll be looking forward to making my way out there. I'm definitely going to make it happen to get on some of those early ice greenbacks. I think that'll be pretty special experience and pretty fun one with those guys as well. If you haven't listened to our episode with Justin from the Assorted Meats team there way back, I don't even know how long ago that was we recorded with him. It was probably 2 years ago at least now. Listen to that one too, and you can see the kind of fun that I'm sure they have in those ice castles there. But yeah. Just want to give a quick thanks again to our presenting sponsor, 13 Fishing. Check out the website. Use code WEEKENDWARRIORS. Save yourself 15% off on any of your orders. We're getting close to ice season again. It's time to stock up and get preparing for another season of ice fishing. So thank you for tuning in this episode, and we'll see you in the next one.
Thanks for tuning in to the Weekend Warriors Fishing Podcast. If you enjoyed the show, Be sure to leave a review on your favorite listening platform so we can reach more anglers just like you. Find us on Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube for media updates and behind-the-scenes content.